begin with verse 15 and just sort of set the stage for you. We stopped right in the middle of the chapter. I don't like to do that, but that's just the way it happened to fall. Absalom has decided that he would be the king, and he's led a great conspiracy, has gotten some influential people on his side, one of those being David's counselor, Ahithophel. And David gets word that they've announced in Hebron that Absalom is king. So he just says, we got to get out of Jerusalem. Now, if you just read that on the surface, it may sound like a cowardly move on David's part, but there's not a cowardly bone in David's body. Actually, he was doing what was in the best interest of the city because he knew Absalom would be coming to the city to try to kill him. And in the process, a lot of innocent people would be killed and the city damaged and all that kind of stuff. So he has left the city. And Jane mentioned earlier how in leaving the city, how this Benjamite, Shimei, had cursed him and thrown rocks at him, which I can't imagine anybody being that dumb with David's mighty men. And old Bishai said, let me just go over and take his head off, you know. And David says, no, we're not gonna do it that way. And so when we get down to the 15th verse, it says, meanwhile, Absalom and all the people, the men of Israel, came to Jerusalem, and Ahithophel was with them. Now remember, this is David's very wise counselor. And so it was when Hushai, the Archite, David's friend, came to Absalom. Remember, David told Hushai left with him. And David said, look, man, if you come with me, you're going to be a burden. You'll be much more benefit to me if you'll stay back in Jerusalem and at least try to cancel out the wise counsel that Ahithophel gives. So this is what Hushai has done. So he comes in to Absalom, and he says, long live the king, long live the king. Excuse me. So Absalom said to Hushai, is this your loyalty to your friend? Now you understand Absalom knew that Hushai and David were friends. And he says, is this the way you show your loyalty? And Hushai said to Absalom, no, but whom the Lord and this people and all the men of Israel choose, his I will be, and with him I will remain. That was a pretty wise answer that he gave to Absalom. Furthermore, whom should I serve? Should I not serve in the presence of his son? In other words, I served your father, shouldn't I serve you? As I have served in your father's presence, so I will be in your presence. Then Absalom said to Ahithophel, give advice as to what we should do. And Ahithophel said to Absalom, go into your father's concubines, whom he has left to keep the house, and all Israel will hear that you are abhorred by your father. Then the hands of all who are with you will be strong. So they pitched a tent for Absalom on the top of the house. And Absalom went into his father's concubines in the sight of all Israel. Now think about that. Does that sound like there's a fulfillment of prophecy going on here? Huh? You remember what Nathan told David? He said, you did it secretly, but God's going to do it before everybody. And that's exactly what's happening. Now, as perverted as this may sound, the counsel was excellent counsel, in that it would bring about a desired end. In other words, everybody would know that Absalom had taken the king's wives, actually, well, concubines. You understand? Which, when you did that, I mean, that's as bad as you can do to the king, okay? So then it's established that he is opposed to the king and he'll do whatever he can to the king, okay? So the counsel was not bad counsel. It was good counsel. As a matter of fact, you read verse 23. It says, now the advice of Ahithophel, which he gave in those days, was as if one had inquired at the oracle of God. So was all the advice of Ahithophel, both with David and with Absalom. That's why David was so concerned about Ahithophel being left there in Jerusalem alone, because he knew this man was a wise man and would give Absalom excellent counsel. So he needed Hushai to help him out, didn't he? Well, when we go into chapter 17, he says, "Moreover, Ahithophel said to Absalom, 'Now let me choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue David tonight.'" Who is Ahithophel? Bathsheba's grandfather. And from what I can understand, this could be a vindictive type thing, the reason that he went over to Absalom, because he didn't appreciate David defiling his granddaughter Bathsheba. Now, what's he going to do? He's telling Absalom, he didn't say, "Send somebody out." He said, "Let me take 12,000 men. Let me go kill David." He said, let me choose 12,000 men, and I will arise and pursue David tonight. I will come upon him while he is weary and weak and make him afraid, and all the people who are with him will flee, and I will strike only the king." In other words, his agenda is, "Let me personally kill the king." Now, there's something behind that, and we've already discussed that, haven't we? "Then I will bring all the people back to you. When all return except the man whom you seek, all the people will be at peace." In other words, what he's saying is, "I'll kill David and everybody else will come back and you can rule over all of them. You don't have to fight them and engage in battle." "And the saying pleased Absalom and all the elders of Israel." Good counsel. "Then Absalom said, 'Now call Hushai the Archite also, and let us hear what he says too.'" Now remember, David prayed and said, "God, turn the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness." Remember that? Well, you're going to see God answer some prayer here. "When Hushai came to Absalom, Absalom spoke to him, saying, 'Ahithophel has spoken in this manner. Shall we do as he says? If not, speak up.'" In other words, he rehearses to Hushai the counsel that Ahithophel has given. And he says, "Now what do you think we should do? Do you have any different counsel?" So Hushai said to Absalom, "The advice that Ahithophel has given is not good at this time." Now note, he's not putting Ahithophel down. He's just simply saying there's something that he's overlooked. And you'll see that as we go along. Verse 6, it says, said Hushai, "You know your father and his men that they are mighty men." Now, they all know that. You understand David had 30 mighty men, but David was a mighty man himself. "And they are enraged in their minds like a bear robbed of her cubs in the field. And your father is a man of war and will not camp with the people. Surely by now he is hidden in some pit or in some other place. And it will be when some of them are overthrown at the first that whoever hears it will say, 'There is a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom.'" You know what he's saying? He's saying, "Look, here's what happens. If you follow this counsel, you're going to go out and you're going to engage with David's mighty men. These guys are set on go, and they're going to whip you at your first engagement." Now, this is what he's telling Absalom, okay? He said, "Surely by now he is hidden in some pit or some other place, and it will be that when some of them are overthrown," talking about Absalom's, "that whosoever hears it will say, 'There is a slaughter among the people who follow Absalom.' And even he who is valiant, whose heart is like the heart of a lion, will melt completely. For all Israel knows that your father is a mighty man, and those who are with him are valiant men." Now, is that the truth? Absolutely. And Absalom knows it's the truth. That these guys with David, you know, they're not the worst of the army. They're the elite. Okay? "Therefore, I advise that all Israel be fully gathered to you from Dan to Beersheba, like the sand is by the sea for multitude, and that you go to battle in person." You know what he's saying? "Take every soldier you have and go pursue your daddy. You do it in person." Hushai didn't say, "I'll take them." Ahithophel said, "I'll take 12,000 men. Hushai said, "You get them all and you lead them." So we will come upon him in some place where he may be found, and we will fall on him as the dew falls on the ground, and of him and of all the men who are with him, there shall not be left so much as one. In other words, what Hushai said is, let's go out there and let's absolutely wipe them out. Just don't leave none of them. Moreover, if he's withdrawn into a city, then all Israel shall bring ropes to that city, and we will pull it into the river until there is not one small stone found there. So Absalom and all the men of Israel said, the advice of Hushai the Archite is better than the advice of Ahithophel. For the Lord had purposed to defeat the good advice of Ahithophel. Wonder why? God's answering David's prayer, isn't he? To the intent that the Lord might bring disaster on Absalom. Then Hushai said to Zadok and Abiathar the priests, thus and so Ahithophel advised Absalom and the elders of Israel, and thus and so I have advised. Now therefore send quickly and tell David, saying, do not spend this night in the plains of the wilderness, but speedily cross over, lest the king and all the people who are with him be swallowed up. Now remember that Zadok and Abiathar, they went out with David too, and David sent them back. They had the Ark of the Covenant with them. He said, no, take it back to Jerusalem. You guys go back. But David, pretty wise man himself, you understand. And he says, you know, you've got two sons there, you know, Ahimeaz and Jonathan. You just let them keep me informed as to what's going on. Well, that's exactly what's taking place here. Now, Jonathan and Ahimeaz stayed at... Did I miss 16? Did I read 16? Okay. Speedily cross over, let all the king and the people who are with him, lest all the king and all the people who are with him be swallowed up. Now, Jonathan and Ahimeaz stayed it in Rogel, for they dare not be seen coming into the city. Now, your translation probably says a wench, but actually a wench is a female servant, okay? So a female servant would come and tell them, and they would go and tell King David. In other words, this is the way they got news. Now, Ahimeaz and Jonathan, you understand, were well known because they're the priest's sons. So the way to get around that is to use this maidservant, this wench as it's called in the King James Version, to just go where they are. In other words, they're at a different place, to go where they are and get the news out of the city, and then they have the liberty to go out and take the news to David. That way they won't be in harm's way. It says, nevertheless, a lad saw them and told Absalom. But both of them went away quickly and came to a man's house in Bahurim who had a well in his court, and they went down into it. Now, this is like a cistern. You understand? Then the woman took and spread a covering over the well's mouth, spread ground grain on it, and the thing was not known. In other words, they got in the well, she put a cover over it, and then put grain over it, where it looked like she was just about her routine of business, okay? And when Absalom's servants came to the woman at the house, they said, where are Ahimeaz and Jonathan? So the woman said to them, they have gone over the water brook. And when they had searched and could not find them, they returned to Jerusalem. Now it came to pass after they had departed that they came up out of the well and went and told King David and said to David, arise and cross over the water quickly, for thus has Ahithophel advised against you. You understand that Hushai said, I want you to listen to both sides of the council. This is what Ahithophel said, and this is what I have said. So he's giving him the whole scope so where he knows what's going on. Excuse me. So David and all the people who were with him arose and crossed over the Jordan. By morning light, not one of them was left who had gone over the Jordan. Boy, David didn't waste any time following the advice of Hushai, did he? Now when Ahithophel saw that his advice was not followed, he saddled a donkey and arose and went home to his house, to his city. Then he put his household in order and hanged himself and died. He was buried in his father's tomb. In other words, the man knew he was in trouble. I believe he had a little insight here that Absalom was going to get whipped and he'd have to face David. So he just committed suicide. He knew that his days were numbered anyway, okay? Then David went to Mahanaim, and Absalom crossed over the Jordan, he and all the men of Israel with him, and Absalom made Amasa captain of the army instead of Joab. Remember, Joab's with David. this Amasa was the son of a man whose name was Jithra, an Israelite, who had gone into Abigail, the daughter of Nahash, sister of Zeruiah, Joab's mother. Now, who's Zeruiah? David's sister. So if Abigail is the daughter of who? Nahash. That's Zeruiah's sister, right? That's you follow all that? Do what? How did we get that out of that? Abigail was the daughter of Nahash. Nahash was the sister of Zeruiah. Nahash is a woman, okay? She's the sister of Zeruiah. So Nahash and Zeruiah are sisters of David, right? No. So, Zeruiah was the mother of Joab, Abishai, and Asahel, right? Joab was the captain of David's army. David's army. Okay? Now, Absalom has made Amasa the captain of his army. Abishai and Asahel were mighty warriors in David's army. As a matter of fact, Abishai was the head of David's three mightiest men. And Asahel is listed among David's renowned men, mighty men. So Abigail, Joab, Abishai, and Asahel were first cousins. Okay? Now just trying to get this picture in here because we're talking about relatives now. You understand? Over here is Joab, the head of this army of David, and over here is Amasa, the head of Absalom's army. And I mean, Absalom's David's son, and now you have what, a cousin against a cousin? This is a mess. But I think it was prophesied that way, wasn't it? You know, this is the consequence to the sin that David had committed earlier. Absalom and his army camped in the land of Gilead. This is verse 26. Excuse me. And then it says, now it happened when David had come to Mount of Nahum that Shobai the son of Nahash, who's Nahash? David's sister. So David's nephew, maybe? This is the Nahash from Rabbah, the people of Ammon. It's not the same Nahash, okay? I really confuse you here. Okay? You have to keep the distinction here, okay? This one's from Ammon. Machir the son of Amiel from Lodabar, and Barzillai the Gileadite from Ugalim brought beds and basins, earthen vessels, and wheat, barley, flour, parched grain, beans, lentils, and parched seeds, honey, curd, sheep, cheese of the herd, for David and the people who were with him to eat. For they said, the people are hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Now, you know, it's amazing how all this comes together. Here these people are, they're running. They don't have time to get all these supply wagons and everything going with them because of the urgency of getting out of Jerusalem in order to save the city from damage. And yet, while they're doing that, this news is traveling around and there's people over here that's friends of David that are coming and meeting his need. And he's very appreciative of it, too. You'll find that out later on. Then we get into chapter 18. It's about Absalom's murder. It says, David numbered the people who were with him. Now, this impressed me about David, okay? David is a military man. You know that. I mean, from the time he killed Goliath, boy, Saul took him in. And you understand that he was the one that was leading the army of Israel, it says, in and out. We'll read that a little later on. But David knew something about military strategy, and it said every time that he went out and engaged in battle, he was successful. As a matter of fact, he was always more successful than his peers, and he always behaved himself wisely. So this man was an excellent military strategist. He knew how to go about combat, okay?
Did he have the same job as Joab?
There's a good possibility, because we'll read later on that says that he is the one that led the armies of Israel in and out under Saul. Now, Abner, you understand, was Saul's commander after when David was on the run. So David and Abner knew each other well. And there was a mutual respect there for one another. But from a statement that is made, we'll look at earlier, it does appear that David is the one that led the army. Well, it states that he led the army of Israel out, okay? Now, with all this in mind, it says, David numbered the people who were with him and set captains of thousands and captains of hundreds over them. What's he doing? He's structuring his army. I mean, this man's wasting no time. He knows that he has no time to waste, and he needs a plan, okay? It says, then David sent out one-third of the people under the hand of Joab, one-third under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and one-third under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said to the people, I also will surely go out with you myself. In other words, he's divided his army up into three companies. Okay? But the people answered, you shall not go out, for if we flee away, they will not care about us, nor if half of us die, will they care about us. But you are worth 10,000 of us now, for you are now more help to us in the city. Now, they know that Absalom's not interested in them. There's one agenda, and that's kill David. I mean, this is sort of hard to comprehend when your own son's out to kill you. I mean, I have a hard time comprehending that. Most people do crazy things, and especially in this day and time, I mean, it's families just split and rising up against each other and do some crazy stuff. Yeah, he's taking charge. Then the king said to them, whatever seems best to you, I will do. Verse 4. So the king stood beside the gate, and all the people went out by hundreds and by thousands. Now the king had commanded Joab, Abishai, and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. Now what's he saying? If I understand this correctly, what he's saying, look, capture the boy. Yeah, just deal gently with him. It says, and all the people heard when the king gave all the captain's orders concerning Absalom. You understand, Absalom hated David. David loved Absalom. So the people went out into the field of battle against Israel, and the battle was in the woods of Ephraim. The people of Israel were overthrown there before the servants of David, and a great slaughter of 20,000 took place that day. In other words, David's men whipped Absalom's army, okay? It says, for the battle there was scattered over the face of the whole countryside, and the woods devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. Now, that's incredible. In other words, there was more got killed by the terrain than by the sword. That was Absalom's downfall, you understand. The terrain's what did him in. Verse 9 says, then Absalom met the servants of David. Now, who are the servants of David? The soldiers, right? Absalom rode on a mule. The mule went under the thick boughs of a great terebinth tree, and his head... Note that. I've heard it preached a lot that Absalom's hair of his head, the hair got caught in the tree. Maybe it did, maybe it didn't. But I'm going to tell you what, looking at this from the Hebrew word, there's a different Hebrew word for hair than there is for head. And the Hebrew word here says head. His head got caught in the tree. Okay? Now, his hair is on his head. I understand that. But I'm just saying, be cautious in how you embellish your story when you're telling it, okay? Like old Sergeant Friday said, just the facts, ma'am. Okay? I mean, you're better off to stick with the facts, okay? So his head's... That's on tape too. His head caught in the cherubim, so he was left hanging between heaven and earth, and the mule, which was under him, went on. Now, that's a pretty calm way, right? It sounds like he's just riding along. I got a feeling they're riding pretty fast, and all of a sudden, boom, he's caught, and the mule's gone, and there he is, dangling, you know. Said, now, a certain man saw it and told Joab, and said, I just saw Absalom hanging in the terebinth tree. So Joab said to the man who told him, you just saw him? Why did you not strike him there to the ground? I would have given you 10 shekels of silver and a belt. In other words, Joab said, if you had killed him, man, I'd have given you the reward. The man said to Joab, though I were to receive 1,000 shekels of silver in my hand, I would not raise my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing, the king commanded you and Abishai and Ittai, saying, beware lest anyone touch the young man Absalom. Otherwise, I would have dealt falsely against my own life, for there is nothing hidden from the king, and you yourself would have set yourself against me. Now, boy, Joab had a reputation, didn't he? The guy said, look, if I heard what the king said, the king didn't want the boy killed, and if I would have killed him, you'd have testified against me. You wouldn't have bailed me out of this thing. Then Joab said, I cannot linger with you. And he took 3 spears in his hand. What does your translation say? Darts? Pardon? Javelin? I see 3 different words used for the translation of this, and I'm going to tell you what. The literal translation is spear. Okay? Now, javelin's a type of spear. But there's a little bit of difference between a dart and a spear. But it says spear, and it says he threw 3 spears, where? Through his heart. But now note this. And 10 young men who bore Job's armor surrounded Absalom and struck him and killed him. I would have thought the 3 spears would have done him in, wouldn't you? They're going to make sure this boy's dead. Now, you understand this is a relative of Joab. First cousin. So Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing Israel, for Joab held back the people. Now, let me just back up here. Not only is he his first cousin, Joab is the one that interceded with David and all that, and, you know, got the woman from Tekoa and all to get Absalom back to Jerusalem. And he's also the one that got his field burnt by Absalom. So maybe it's payday. I don't know what the deal is. But he's not having any mercy on this boy. Once he kills Absalom, he blows the trumpet for his army to retreat. So the people returned from pursuing Israel, for Joab held the people back. And they took Absalom and cast him into a large pit in the woods and laid a very large heap of stones over him. Then all Israel fled, everyone to his tent. Now, you understand this is a king's son? And he has no type of honorable burial. I mean, he's just thrown out in a hole in the woods and covered up with rocks. Something in it. But he brought it on himself, didn't he? Said, now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and set up a pillar for himself, which is in the king's valley. For he said, I have no son to keep my name in remembrance. He called the pillar after his own name, and to this day it is called Absalom's Monument. Now, there's something interesting to me in this, and I'll just share this with you rather quickly and we'll take our break. But if you go back to the 14th chapter of 2 Samuel, look at verse 27. It says, to Absalom were born 3 sons and 1 daughter whose name was Tamar. She was a woman of beautiful appearance. Now, man, I've looked at this and looked at this and looked at this. And I read all the commentaries that I have, what their thoughts were. I thought, what's going on here? Right back here in the 14th verse says he has three sons, and now here it says that Absalom built a monument for himself, called it Absalom's Monument, because he had no son to carry on his name. Now, there's two schools of thoughts on this, okay? The one school of thought says that he built this monument, that he had his children late in life, and he built this monument. Okay? But that seems sort of odd that they would put it. Yeah, he built the monument first before he had children. The other school of thought says that his children, his sons, died in infancy or had preceded him in death. Now, you remember what happens when you get into speculation? You always get into trouble? I don't know. I know that the 14th chapter says he had three sons, and we get over here in the 18th chapter says he built the monument because he didn't have any sons. And I don't see anything anywhere that in any genealogy or anything that talks about the sons of Absalom, gives no names of the sons or anything like that. And I personally lean but I couldn't prove it. My life depended on it, you understand? Well, we'll stop right there and let you take